these children always do something that surprises you or that fascinates you. And it's just so great. They really pay attention, but sometimes Sister Jessica was telling me about a Sunday school class that she was teaching, and she was teaching a class on idolatry. And so this just happened within the last month. So she was telling everybody, all the kids, that, you know, they need to avoid idolatry. And so when she finished teaching it, one girl raised her hand. She says, "What's wrong with going to the Dollar Tree?" She said, "We go to the Dollar Tree all the time. We buy a lot of stuff there." Sister, we want Sister Grant to come. And good to see Paris and Leah back here. Our very own Paris and Leah. God bless them. But we have a very important day today, and that's baby dedication. And Sister Grant will introduce the families that are dedicating their children. So, Sister Grant.
Thank you, Brother Grant. It's a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day yesterday for the wedding. And it's a beautiful day today for the baby dedication. And I noticed yesterday we had a little trouble with the PA at the wedding. But this morning, little Robbie had his own built-in PA. And all of a sudden he realized the volume wasn't very loud. So he was going to turn it up a little bit. Okay, we have, we're missing a mother. Yes. So what I'll do, I'll go ahead over here and then we'll come to you. Okay, we have Allison and Jason Brost. They can stand. And if the girls would come forward with the corsages. There we go. They are dedicating Jared Isaac Brost. So this morning we have two boys and one little girl. Now we have Julie and Norman Puckett. And they are dedicating Liliana Rose, right? Okay. And she has a proud sister we call Bella. And we have, next, we have Darren and Felicia Sistrunk. And here comes Felicia. This was special because her brother got married yesterday. And so she wanted to know, since they were here, if they could dedicate little Blake. So we have Blake Matthew Sistrunk. Brother Grant?
Thank you so much, Sister Grant. And this is such an honor to be able to speak to you this morning prior to the dedication of our children. We take a whole service when we do this. And yesterday we did have a great wedding out on the farm. And I was just thinking as I was standing there about how many of those people in the wedding there that I'd actually dedicated, Nathan being one of them, and Stephanie, and Felicia, and then, of course, performing the ceremony for Felicia and Darren. And by the way, Darren Sistrunk is Brother from... Brother Reaver, he is assisting Brother Reaver. I was trying to think of your grandfather, and Baxter, Irvin Baxter Jr., in End Time Ministries. Darren is his grandson. So it's so good to have you here. And Darren will be preaching for us tonight. So we're going to hear Brother Darren. Praise God. And I was thinking about my son Roy, who helped me in the wedding, or I helped him. Well, we worked together. But I dedicated Roy when he was a baby. And then I married Roy and Lois. And then I dedicated Lana, their daughter, and married Lana and Marvin. And then I have dedicated their two, Ava and Cole. And they have brought so much excitement, that is, the great-grandkids, to our house. And it's just quite a special thing to have them there. Sister Grant recently went to UW Hospital for a checkup. And she's got some spots in her lungs. And then she has an expanded or an aorta that is exceptionally large. So they keep a real close look on her. But when we got in the room, the nurse came in and said, "We have a test for you. It's 6 minutes, and you are to walk briskly with me." And so they put a monitor on her finger to see where her oxygen level would be when she finished. She has this cloudiness in her lungs that looks like pneumonia, but it just stays there. They can't figure out where it is. So Sister Grant, I stayed in the room, and they were gone 6 minutes, and they came back in, and the nurse, who looks like she might be in her early 20s, she says, "My Darlene, what do you do to stay in shape?" And she told me, she said, "Your wife almost killed me." I said, "I can't keep up with her." They put this monitor on the finger, and if your oxygen level drops down to 90, then they slow you down. Otherwise, you're walking pretty much as fast as you can. And then if it drops down to at least to 88, then they give you oxygen. And she said, "I thought I was going to have to take the oxygen." And so I told her, I said, "Well, I'll tell you what she does. She plays with our great-grandkids." And when I say play with them, I meant that's really what she does. Little Ava came in the other night, and Sister Grant was fixing supper. And anytime she wants something of me, she comes up to me and she drops her little shoulder. She tries to be as humble as she can. So she walks up there with her little head down. She says, "Papa, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, hon." She said, "When Grandma finishes supper and y'all eat, can she come out and play?" I said, "Well, that's not for me to say. I mean, if she wants to go out and play, that's okay." But Sister Grant gets down and plays with those kids just like she's one of them. And the doctor told her, said, "You know, we're not for sure what's wrong with you. We know there's something wrong with your lungs. But you passed the test, and your blood pressure's good, your heart rate's good. And if we gave you any medication, for sure it would make you feel bad. And we're just not going to do it, because why mess with perfect?" You know, everything's okay, so being we don't know what we're treating, well, then why fool with it? Today I want to speak to you from Psalm 128. This is a short psalm, but a real beautiful psalm. Again, I want to say to the families here, Jason just recently did the construction work of an addition we put on the house. I have known Norman since Norman was a little kid. When I first came here, Norman used to snore on the... Where is Norman anyway? Norman, I'm sorry. How come I didn't see you? Norman was then and still is one of my favorite people. He would snore, and he snored so loud that you could hear it. But he was a little rowdy, and so when he went to sleep, his mother would not disturb him. So Sister Puckett just sit there looking straight ahead, and Norman had everybody's attention, just snoring away. Norman and my son Steve were quite good friends, and Norman spent a lot of time at our house. And I remember taking Norman fishing, just a little tyke, after we'd fished almost all day and he caught several fish. He brings one over to me, and he says, Steve was there. He said, Steve, Brother Grant, he says, how come I always catch him in the mouth? You remember that, Norman? He remembers it, yeah. Of course, with Norman, you never knew if he was serious or if he was pulling a prank on you. So Steve starts explaining to him that the bait we use, that they bite on it. And when they bite on it, we catch them in the mouth. He said, oh, that's how that works. From Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now this is just such a great promise. Just such a great promise. Now verse 2, the Bible says, happy shalt thou be. And today I just want to talk about the happy home. You know, I was called several years ago by a family quite often who they were having marital problems, but they had a good number of children. And honestly, when I would call, they would request that I call, so I'd call and check on them. I couldn't even understand what they were saying, because there was so much fussing and arguing going on in the home. I mean, it sounds like a madhouse. Sounds like a dogfight. And I just couldn't believe that someone could tolerate that kind of condition, which obviously existed quite often, because I called quite often, and it was that way every time I called. It was just, well. Now, suppose I was calling to find out what the people wanted that could call me, and suppose that everybody was laughing in the home. Now, if that were true, you wouldn't expect them to say, we're having marital problems, would you? Because truthfully, when families are happy and couples are happy, they may have their problems, they may have their differences, but they find ways to work it out. Deuteronomy 33:29 talks about Israel. It says, happy art thou, O Israel. In other words, the whole nation at one time was happy. Now, I'm sad to say, but you couldn't hardly say that about the United States of America right now. I hear more complaining about just everything. The thing about democracy, and that is that we actually own the government, so we feel very obligated to speak our piece relative to situations that we don't agree with. But when the final verdict, Proverbs 18:18, says, when the lot is cast, contention ceases. Now, that simply means when, in a democracy, when there's a vote taken, that should solve all contention. Because you can't always get your way. And so when the majority prevails, then that's just the way it is. And it's necessary then, in order to have tranquility in our nation, in our state, in our city, that we have to come to the conclusion we don't always get our way. And I think one of the things that needs to be taught in the home, and that is that some people are going to get their way and some are not going to get their way. But the Bible says happiness is a principal ingredient in the home. Happiness can lead you to a blessing. And also, it speaks of your children and your grandchildren. In our case, our great-grandchildren. It's just so great to hear the people here at Calvary Gospel Church laughing a lot. We had a missionary come by and he said, "You know what impressed me most about your church?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Well, it was not the worship, which was we thought was superb. But when your people greeted each other, you had a hard time getting them to come back and worship. Now, I know that you like to worship because your worship services are so deep and meaningful. But what they were doing, they were visiting with each other and laughing. Said, if you just stopped and listened, there were people all over the building that were laughing and having a good time. Now, my home, and there's just two of us there now, has a lot of laughter. My wife, if I'm going to sit down and read the comics, even something that's real funny, unless I have someone to laugh with, I probably won't show much expression. I might smile or something. My wife, last night, someone had emailed her something, and there was a YouTube of Bill Cosby. And she got on that and was listening to him, and I heard her over there laughing, and she was laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. I said, "What is it, Dar?" She said, "Oh, you got to come see this." Of course, I always have to drop everything to go. And so I go over there, and Bill Cosby was just being Bill Cosby, you know. But it was very, very funny. Very, very funny. I just want to give you a few tips on creating a happy home. Now, keep in mind that when we have baby dedications, I really never give you all the information that you need to be successful as a parent. But you have to go through several baby dedications to hear what you would consider enough information to be a great parent. But today we're just going to talk about a few tips for creating a happy home. Number one, you need to be a happy parent. What about you? Do you know how to smile? There's some people just don't know how to smile. They just simply don't know how to smile. They don't know how to have a good time. They seem to be adversely set against progress, and the prevailing spirit that they have is to make everybody unhappy. There are some people that are confrontational to the point that unless they've had a good fight during the day, they don't feel like they've had a good day. And some parents can be that way. You know, you have to understand that your child is a child. I gave this story about Avon Cole, but I want to give it again for the sake of the parents. Our two great-grandchildren came over and they were going to eat with us. Mom and Dad had stepped out and went someplace. The kids had already eaten, but they wanted to eat again. They always have to eat when they come to Grandma's house. So they got up to the table, and Cole, he got in this habit of taking and slapping the table. He'd slap the table, lower those eyebrows. He'd say, no. I mean, he just, no. So now he's changed no to no way. Now he says, no way. But he slapped the table. He told his grandmother, no. She told him, said, now, Cole, if you do this again, I'm going to take you over and you're going to bed. Now, a few seconds later, he did the same thing. Well, me knowing my wife the way I know her, I knew that she wasn't going to be as stern with him as need be. And, you know, she's the type of lady, like most of you, she'll say, I told you the last time, I've said this the last time. You know, some parents say that 20 times. I'm not telling you anymore now. This is the last time. So what I did when he slapped the table and said no, I jumped up and ran around the end of the table. I said, come go with me. I'm taking you over to your house and put you to bed. And I put him in my arms. I have never in my life saw a little guy melt so fast. I mean, he totally melted, just melted. And he just fell on my chest and he was hugging me and said, Papa, sorry, sorry. No, Papa, sorry, no. Really, just break your heart. He went from being mad to being sorry. And the thing that really, I guess, moved me was that little Ava jumped up and she said, she's going to take up for him now. She says, Papa, he's just a little boy. He's still learning. So I think that we have to understand that kids are learning and they're not going to do things right. And sometimes you think they never will get it down, but they do. But for the most part, just be a happy family. You know, most people, as far as I am concerned, everybody that laughs is beautiful. But some people can't be beautiful because they don't know how to laugh. All right. The next thing is try to the best of your ability in your home to live without strife. The definition of strife is like fighting, heated argument, often violent, conflicts, bitterness, distractions, struggling, especially between rivals. Siblings can just really get things going. Okay. Bitter dissension, contention, quarreling. And I think that's enough. James 3:16, let's look at the scripture and see what it has to say about this. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now, you know, out of moments of tension and strife, statements can be made that are very, very harmful. Even sometimes husbands and wives. I've had wives to tell me, I told him I hated him. Now he won't let it go because I really didn't. mean it when I said it. But I asked you if you meant it, and you said, yes, you meant it. Well, Sister Grant and I have this little standing rule, we've had it for years, that when we are mad, don't believe each other. We just don't believe each other. You say whatever you want to say, but I don't believe it. And I can say whatever I want to say, but don't believe it. This November, we'll be married 54 years. Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, we submit to each other. We humble ourselves and submit to each other. The third tip, let your love show. You need to say, I love you, and you need to say it often. And please take my advice. Don't catch yourself always saying, I love you too. In other words, you can initiate and say it first. But usually it's one or the other. Now, Sister Grant and I, we tell each other, I don't know how many times a day, that we love each other. I mean, enough it'd probably bore you. But I tell her often, I love you. Now, I get up considerably earlier than her. So she makes the coffee and gets it ready for me to turn on. And I get up in the morning, I turn the coffee on. And usually it's like 5:45 or sometimes earlier, sometimes a little later. But I sit there and I pray. And I just let her sleep. And then she gets up. She walks in the house. And I say, good morning, sweetheart. That's the first thing I say to her. I say, I love you. And she says, I love you too. You know, she's hardly awake. But she tells me quite often that she loves me. And I tell her that. And that's what you need to do. You need to let your love show. Your children need to see you as parents loving each other. It's all right to hold each other and cuddle and kiss. Because when you, as parents, when you get crossed up, it emotionally affects the children. I cannot believe some of the things that I personally dealt with over the years when the divorce takes place. It just literally rips the heart right out of the children. Just rips the heart out. 1 Corinthians 13, the King James Version uses the word charity, but I want to use the word love. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. So if you love each other, you're going to suffer long with each other, and you're going to be kind to each other. And that's also true about your children. Don't forget, they are children, you know. They will make mistakes. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked. Well, is not easily provoked. You know, some people, I'm serious with you, they're just a bomb waiting to go off. There's just some people that just, you know, wow. You know, they're like porcupines. They have a lot of good points, but you can't get near them. You know, really, they're just waiting to. I don't understand walking through life just waiting for some situation where I can blow up. All right. Thinks no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Isn't this great? So let your love show. Now, the next point that I want to call your attention to, you want to make living for God fun. You know, children like to have fun. There's all kinds of water parks and pizza places and deli places and everything where they're designed for children to have fun, because children like to have fun. And you need to make living for God fun. Some people, you know, and please understand now, you can't be too serious about serving God. But if you're serious about raising your children correctly, you know, you can't be enshrouded with gloom all the time. You know, there's enough things in the world that points toward the coming of the Lord that you know, you could just point to gloom. Now, I have preached in a good number of pulpits, and of course, you know, I like to have fun. But there are places I've gone and I've said something that you folks will laugh about. Everything I say is not funny that you laugh about, I know. But you do it out of respect for me. You know? I didn't know it was that way till recently. My grandson's, John's kids started talking about it. And they even gave me a card about Grandpa's corny jokes. But I'm telling you, it's not that way in all churches. There are just some churches that you'll say something and they just, like, are we supposed to laugh in church? You know, we're supposed to have fun. I got to tell you, I'm just glad I married a girl that, you know, she's serious about living for God, but she's made it fun. And so living for God, make it fun, be happy. Be joyful. You know, there's a whole lot of don'ts involved in Christian living. That's what discipline's all about. But it's not don't do, don't do, don't do all the time. It's, you know, there's a lot of good things that happen. So make living for God fun. Worship God with gladness. I say worship God with gladness. Now, when you have your own private devotion and you're repenting and you're asking God to clean your life up and everything, that's a different story. But when you're with your children, worship God with gladness. It was on a Christmas Eve that my youngest son, well after we had gone to bed, came in and tapped me on the shoulder just a little tight then. He said, Dad, he said, I want to talk with you. You know, tonight is the night that everybody says Santa Claus is coming. But I've been thinking about Jesus Christ coming. I don't think I'm ready. So I wiped the tears from his eyes and I said, okay, what we want to do is we want to start worshiping God. And we worship God with gladness. The sixth thing, sing with joy. And we started singing. And pray with happiness or thanksgiving. Would you believe that within a matter of 4 or 5 minutes, little Steve had repented and he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sitting right there, 1:30 in the morning, whatever time it was, on my knee, I was sitting on the floor. God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, in your home, you know, when you have family devotion, if the kids hate it, then there's an element that needs to be injected into that family devotion to make the kids like it. So you may have to sing some of these, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Make living for God fun, worship with gladness, sing with joy, pray with thanksgiving. And the eighth thing, be positive as much as you can about everything that you can. I think for a pastor to be successful, if you want to build a congregation, I've told ministers this, the thing that you do is that you make everybody look as good as you possibly can to that person and to everybody else. So, in front of everybody, I want to make Jeff Neeson, Linda Neeson, look as good to all of you as I possibly can. Now, I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about just picking some honest character traits and making the person feel good about themselves and making everybody else feel good about them. And in a home, you have to do that because there's so much sibling rivalry. And you've got to make all the kids feel good about Sam and Mary. You know, feel good about each other. Little Ava says, I'm going to marry Colbert. She calls Colbert. Said, no, you can't marry Colbert. That's your son. Not son, but that's your brother, rather. Sorry. She said, I'm going to marry Colbert. Then recently, she says, Papa, I'm not going to marry Colbert. I found out I'm not supposed to marry my brother. And Mother told me that if I married him, I'd have to move to Arkansas. So be... I should not have said that, really. Is there anybody here from Arkansas? You wouldn't admit it now, would you? So be positive as much as possible. Number 9, engage in games or activities that produce laughter. We always had a tickle time. So we're ready to go to the wedding rehearsal, and Ava comes over and says, Grandma, could we just go to the big bed just for a little tickle time? I said, where were you? She said, oh, she said, Ava had to have a tickle time. And little Cole comes in. He goes like this, tickle, tickle, tickle. But engage in activities that produce laughter. Also, number 10, have an attitude like this. I think I'm right, but I may be wrong. You know, some people almost die for every statement they make. They're willing to die for it. I'm right all the time. So I tell Sister Grant, I said, now, hon, you have a right to be wrong. So we laugh about that. But I don't know how many times I've had to go to her and to our boys and even members of this church and say, look, I think I was wrong. I know I was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. Number 11, be quick to forgive people. Because most people are just like you. They do make mistakes. Don't assume something unless you know that it is that way. And number 12, tell a lot of stories that have happy endings. Because some people, some children grow up feeling that nothing ever turns out good. Nothing. So at this time, we want to have all of you to stand, if you would. And again, it's just so good to have all of you here in the house of the Lord. So we would like for Darren and Felicia, if they would, bring their son and just Well, why don't you just stand over here if you would. Just run up here. Just face me. Okay. Jason, Allison, bring your son. Norman and Julie, if you'll bring your daughter. Oh, this is just such a precious moment. Now, we have chosen a minister to stand in front of you. So if our ministers would go down and stand in front of these families. Now, we would like for the family members to come and stand behind the couples. Yeah, we just need, Darren, why don't you just spread, come on over here some. Yeah, you're going to run out of rooms. What's going to happen here? Okay. Now, if it be your intent to dedicate your child to the Lord, and by dedication of the Lord simply means that we recognize that he is Lord and that he has control of the child's life. He can do whatever he wants to do with it. And you trust God that you are just a steward. And by steward simply means that you manage something that belongs to somebody else. Ezekiel said, all children, all souls are his. So if you recognize that, why don't you put your child in the hands of a minister? Now what I'd like for you to do, all of you family members, reach out, touch the person in front of you, until you get down and touch the parents. And then I'd like for the parents to reach over and lay their hands on the child as the minister holds the child. And I want to pray. Lord of heaven, we're so thankful that we can gather here for this very wonderful, beautiful occasion. We're thankful, God, that these children were born healthy and well. And I'm asking, God, that you do keep your hand upon them. Life has a lot of struggles, a lot of trouble, trials. Children's hospitals are filled throughout our nation. I pray, God, just keep these children. Keep them in your protective care. Watch over them. We formally dedicate these children to you. In the presence, rather, of the host of angels that are here and round about us, and also the witnesses that are here, we all celebrate this day because we know that you are the giver of life and this child really belongs to you, and the life that this child has was given by you and can be taken by you. Therefore, Lord Jesus, we dedicate this child to you. Until such a time, Lord Jesus, that this child is called into eternal life to be in your presence, I pray, God, keep your hand upon this child. Lord, remember this day. We're looking forward to seeing them repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost when they recognize for themselves that they are sinners and they need you. So, Lord, we dedicate these children to you. Lift your hands, congregation. All of us, let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, you're so good. God, you're so wonderful. You can return the children back to their parents. Oh, praise God. Now what we want to do, we want to dedicate the parents. So let's lay hands on the parents and pray for them. God, we pray for these couples. We ask of you, God, that you grant wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We live in a very complex world, and there's so many issues that so many of us never had, that children have and parents have. And I'm asking God that you just be with these parents and help these parents. Help them set priorities in their home. Help them set guidelines. But above all, Lord, give them the wisdom to lead that child down the path that leads to eternal life. Do bless these parents daily. And I pray for the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles who are here. I'm praying, God, that you'd be with them so that every time they have anything to do with this child, that they will understand this child really belongs to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All over the congregation, lift your hand, would you? Let's just praise the Lord. We'd like for our music team to come. This is what we do for dedication. The minister who held your child.